Hello, welcome to the Go Show.
Go Set Magazine.
Hi there, Groovers. I'm James Valentine. We're looking back at the life and times of Go Set Magazine. Back in the early 70s, rock festivals were the place to be. Australia's first was held at Arimba, near Sydney, in 1970. Former Go Set editor Ed Nimavol.
At that point, we didn't have the images yet of Woodstock. So we'd heard about it, so we were doing it, but we didn't know how to do it. So everyone sort of converged on this farm to listen to music. We knew the theory of it, but once we got there, we didn't actually know what to do.
Not just a dream. Arimba was simply a flash, a quick look at how life should be, and a brilliant weekend proving that one could be so much happier without the ridiculous restrictions and conventions that society insists upon. A place, a time where policemen could be people and people could be humane. Of course, there was the inevitable group of society's children who weren't terribly good at pretending.
There were the newspaper journalists and photographers arrived at the site, and they had their deadline and they had their vision of what they wanted, and they paid girls to take their tops off, took the photographs, ran off. The typical thing that they wanted to portray, teenagers getting their clothes off, free sex. It was an image they wanted, an image they manufactured, and if you look at the newspapers from that day, that's the message that you're going to get.
Perhaps the most well-known of the rock festivals in Australia were held at Sunbury in Victoria each year between 1972 and 1975.
Welcome to Sunbury.
Yeah.
What are you expecting?
Oh, good fun.
Did you have a good trip down on the train?
Oh, yeah, it's all right.
You come from Sydney?
Yeah, Paddington.
And what do you expect to see down here?
Peace, music, have a good time, see all the people.
How much did it cost you to come up from Sydney?
25 return.
Do you think it's worth it?
I don't know, I'll find out.
You like the weather?
Yes, tremendous.
Good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Considering it's a bit rough for a bird to be out here?
Not really.
You've been camping before?
Yeah.
And have you come to Sydney in particular?
Yes, that guy over there.
They weren't Woodstock. It was a very much a commercial venture. It wasn't a hippie fest as such, because that was already gone. Sunburys were that generation getting out into the sunshine together, where they couldn't be controlled by their parents. Some of them got terribly drunk. Some of them took off their clothes.
Well, how was the water?
Really good.
What would your mum think?
I don't think she'd think anything much. She's pretty broad-minded.
What sort of made you sort of just get up and shed your clothes like this? Is it the festival, or would you do this normally?
I wouldn't do it on St Kilda Beach, no.
Why not? If you can do it here, why not do it on St Kilda Beach?
I think you'd get busted on St Kilda Beach.
It was funny seeing people who were so pissed, falling asleep stark naked, and just were so sunburnt, the poor bastards, I just felt sorry for them. The next day, they would have woken up very, very sore.
Pat Wilson.
Well, we went to two of them, and the last one that Ross played at was just absolutely fantastic. Thousands and thousands of people there. The weather was really hot. We went up with a huge bunch of friends. We just basically did what everybody was doing at that time and stayed there for 3 days. So it was really like a little mini Woodstock, you know, and there was absolutely everybody you knew. Backstage was just as wild as what was going on out front. There wasn't any difference between the crowd and the musos.
Although Sunbury was generally well received by the townspeople, some locals living near the Fairlight Festival, held in the New South Wales Southern Highlands in 1971, weren't so welcoming. Go Set recalls the story of a 22-year-old New Zealander, Evan, who'd recently arrived in Australia. He was arrested for eating lunch on the steps of the local town war memorial.
I arrived at Fairlight on the Friday. It was the first rock festival I'd been to, and I didn't want to miss any of it. I found a campsite on the property, stayed the night, and I went back to Mittagong on Saturday morning to get supplies for the weekend. I left my pack and my camping gear at Fairlight. I was just sitting on the steps of the statue in the middle of the town with two of my friends. I thought it was some kind of town plaza. Anyway, a police car pulled up and they asked us our names and our ages. We told them, and then we were ordered into the car. That's when they handcuffed me and they booked me for offensive behaviour.
Evan was taken to Barrel Court, remanded, and sent to Goulburn Jail, still handcuffed, where he spent 4 days. He was then taken to Mossvale Court, charged, convicted and discharged with a criminal record.
I was told in court that being disrespectful to the war memorial constituted offensive behaviour, and I was found guilty.
To cap his nightmare experience, Evan's gear was stolen from his campsite at Fairlight. He told his story to property owner Jim Henderson, who advised him to report it to the local police. That's your problem, he was told.
One local church minister in Mittagong was reported telling the local council what he'd heard from parishioners about the festival.
They described it as a sex orgy. Large groups danced stark naked in the open air for any to see. Sexual intercourse was engaged in open view. Naked men on the stage sang filthy songs which were openly suggestive of sex. Naked girls besieged the stage with a response which offered their cooperation. I am told that the toilets were in close proximity to water which runs into our town supplementary supply, into which there could not help but be some seepage. Also, there was swimming in the water. In view of the strong possibility of venereal disease being prevalent in such circumstances, would this not create a real hazard to health?
But Gossett scoffed at the minister's suggestions.
Now, you'd have to be a pretty weird cat to get the nasties from drinking water. I mean, as far as we know, there's only one way you can catch VD, unless our minister friend has come across some deviant version. And about all the nudies and open-air bawling, if all that went on, take me back, Mama, take me back, because I saw nay a bare bodkin. Besides, it poured all weekend. The entire site was a mud bath, and even if there had been some fool running about in the bollocky, you couldn't have seen him or her for the sheets of rain.
This was the last of the programs on Gossett Magazine. We hope you've enjoyed the series. The series was devised and produced by Barry Mackay. I'm James Valentine.